Showtime.
And yes, hello, welcome back to another episode of the Talking Para Podcast. What an interesting intro that was, Hayden, from the Entertain House. How you going, mate? Fans may know you from the front row of the Matty John Show on Sunday night. How are you going?
Yeah, I've had a few people point that out to me. Yeah, I'll be talking a bit funny tonight. I've got a bit of a toothache or tooth pain, but yeah, we'll get through the show and speak about the upcoming game, which is a big week for me, Vlog 200.
That's right, Vlog 200, and you can still get the shirts, I'm sure, no doubt. You'll plug throughout the show. We've got Joel from League of Ventures. How are you going, Joel?
I don't know. It must be something in the water because I've actually got a stiff as shit neck tonight.
Okay.
I had to give some blood today, and I don't know if it's like a reaction or something I've got. I don't know, but ever since I got that needle put in my arm, I have just jarred my neck. So
I think maybe
pump on.
Okay.
All good.
Well, maybe we should have put a call out for a second, third, fourth, fifth man as well. I don't know for this show, but anyway, I'm fine. I'm going okay. I'm Troy from the Paracave Podcast. Look, Adam, how you going, mate? Have you got any issues? We've got the tooth with Hayden. We've got the neck with Joel. What about yourself, mate?
Yeah, look, I don't want to try and out you guys. I'm waiting for hip surgery. I'm not going to whinge about it. Like, I'm not going to be whinging a little bitch like you lot. So I'm just going to move on with it. There's bigger problems in the world.
Okay, let's get into
your,
it.
Your tooth and your neck. Anyway, let's get into it.
Oh, and I should mention too, we are down a member tonight too.
Oh, he's also got something wrong with him.
That's right. So there's only one of us fully fit tonight. All of us all the others are dodging injuries and whatever. But Matty from Tate Sports Cards, a proud sponsor of the podcast, thinking of you, mate, and he'll be back next week for sure, I reckon.
Yeah, for sure. Sorry, I just unplugged you because I got sick of listening to you already, Troy. No.
No worries. Thank you very much. Good night.
I've got a terrible echo going on. So do you wanna thank our sponsors, Troy? Are you capable of that? You know who our sponsors are?
Yes, I think I know who they are. I've kept track of them. So thank you very much to BMA Trucking, Paradise Mowing Solutions, and also I just mentioned the other one as well, Tate Sports Cards. And I can tell you, fellas, Paradise Mowing Solutions, check out the Paracave Podcast on Thursday because I have an interview with Charlie from Paradise Mowing Solutions. So he will tell his Parramatta Eels support story. So check that one out. But thank you very much to all the sponsors of the Talking Para Podcast. Really appreciate your support.
Yeah, on that
lawn mode.
Sorry?
Did you get your lawn mode after the interview? Or?
No, this was done at night time, and I'm pretty capable, I think, of doing my own lawn, Joel, so thank you very much.
You can still get your grass cut at night time, Troy, didn't you know? Anyway, just on that one, thanks to Paradise Mowing Solutions, we're giving away another voucher tonight. So he's going to give away a voucher a month as part of his sponsorship. So it's $100 Bunnings voucher. So head across Likey's page. Once again, we'll be giving that away tonight to, I think, the funniest comment. We go on the funniest comment, or well, last week's will be hard to top, boys. So go nuts, get in the comments, do what you can do, because last week's was absolutely brilliant. On that, while we're going through that, obviously, we've still got that competition running thanks to Tate Sports Card. Get on, it's pinned to the top of the page. So get on. There's only like about 100 people entered it so far, obviously, multiple comments and things like that. But those two tickets are still there. We're going to draw at the end of June when we're all together at that Parramatta Newcastle game. So great opportunity there. We're still going to be adding another person. There's two people in that. I can't remember who it was. Matt's got the list. Matt's not here.
I think one of them's already here. I think Tom. He was one of them, I think, wasn't he?
Yep, Tom. And the guy that got the comment last week, whose name has completely escaped me, he has also got one. So there's two people. You've got about 2 in 8 chance or 2 in 9 chance, 1 in 9 chance, something like that. So make us a laugh. But to be eligible for enter that one, obviously you've got to contribute to the show. So keep your comments coming. You have to share the podcast, this live podcast. So share that to your personal feed. Once you've done that, just comment shared, and we'll pick one ears at the end to obviously go into that draw and have 1 in 9 chance of winning one ticket. All right, let's start. Well, first of all, I need to give a shout out to someone special. We've got a bit of a burn list going on, and there was a guy that let us know that he wouldn't be joining.
Corey was the person from last week. He said, mate,
Oi, you'll be on the fucking burn list in a second. Chill. So we've got a burn list going. I'm about to absolutely razz some poor bloke. Now, I'm trying to find it because I've sent it to you earlier and it's just been one of those days ever since. So
yeah, let me see if I can find it.
I've got it. Now, he let us know he would not be joining us a couple of weeks ago, Nathan Lane. So I gave him a special shout-out. And now he's taking it personal. Now he's commenting on every single thing I share from the podcast, telling us to stop, and we're over-opinionated, and we've got no idea what we're talking about. So, Nathan, clearly you did watch the podcast last week because you've taken it personally. So that's your first one. Secondly, Nathan, if you want to join us on the show, if you want to have your opinion, if you're capable of talking besides commenting and talking absolute shit about people, that's fine. We're fans. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. We all have different opinions. Me and Joel went at it last week. I think it's – whose turn is it to have a fight with Joel this week? He's actually looking really happy.
He's looking pretty relaxed. Maybe it was the bye last week.
Needle's done some things.
Must be that stiff neck. There must be something to that. What's been going on there? But he seems happy. So I don't think anyone will fight. Hayden's looking a bit grumpy though, so you never know who could do it. But, look,
Hayden can't talk.
Well, I've put a common theme together. His name's Nathan Lane. He's shouting out to us. He's got to be a relation of Sean, so maybe we have to take it a bit easier on Sean. But anyway, look, let's get on with the actual podcast. Obviously, there was no game last week to touch on, so we can't really say much about that because we won. It was a tough encounter, so I've heard. The effort was there, and the boys showed a bit of fight to come through with a good second half performance. And Troy, what do you want to talk about this Indigenous jersey? You've done the list. You like it. Give us your thoughts. We'll start with something positive tonight.
Start with something positive. Yeah, look, I think it's really good. I think it probably ranks up there as maybe the best Indigenous jersey I think that we've had. There's a story behind it. It's the story of Jermaine Hopgood from his travels from his native land to where he is now. And the owl on the front is his totem. So it's looking really good. I think it does look different to last year's one. I think last year's one was there's a bit more yellow and gold in sort of in there. This one's a bit bluer, I think. But the stories are up on the website there as well. But yeah, it looks good, and I'll be getting that for sure.
Yep. Your thoughts on that jersey, Hayden? I know you love to collect them.
Yeah, I think it's a nice jersey. I quite liked last year's Indigenous one, so it was kind of tough to compare because I was a big fan of the 2023 one. But as you said, Joel, kind of tells a story. I like how our jerseys are kind of telling a story as well. That whole Anzac jersey as well was telling a story. And, yeah, interesting to have an owl, kind of something different, but obviously something within that Aboriginal culture and something very significant to Jermaine. But yeah, I don't know whether I'll buy it myself. I don't think it's a perfect jersey. I know a lot of people saying it's the best jersey in the world, but I think it's a great, great jersey from the club, from pretty poor ones this year.
Yeah, for sure. And Mr. Joel, the hater of jerseys, the hater of Macron, the hater of not enough yellow, what do you got for us, big boy?
Honestly, I absolutely hate it. Like, there's not a good thing I can say, but no, I'm joking. The thing is, it's actually a pretty good jersey because Macron has finally hasn't decided to design a jersey for once this year. And to be fair, for what it's up against for the range it's had that we've had this year, it wasn't hard to beat any of them. That's probably why it's sticking out probably a bit more. I feel like if we had a year where it was some pretty solid good jerseys, I don't know if it would stick out as much as it has been, but I think because all the fans are crying out for something that they can actually wear and be happy being seen in, this is probably it. But unfortunately, even though I am due for an upgraded jersey, I won't be buying it while the current mob is in power at the club. I won't be supporting anything that the club brings out because it will go back to their pockets.
And yeah. I must just say, too, it was designed by an Indigenous artist, Sean Duncan Kinchella, as well. So always good to have an Indigenous artist design it.
Yeah, for sure. I just want to say, I obviously think it's the best one ever released, but just a warning, if you do plan on buying it, it's still a Macron design, so make sure you buy it two sizes bigger than your normal shirt because the sizing is absolutely terrible on every Macron jersey I've ever received in my life. Let's move on. Look, this is one Troy's brought up. after having you had a conversation with Sunia Tuvura, didn't you? Now, before you get to that, we're going to make this a general conversation on players that Parramatta have missed out on over the years because they simply haven't shown interest. Now, you all know our thoughts on the current situation regarding Mark O'Neill, but our recruitment's had this belief ever since it goes back to the Moses and Gutho negotiations, obviously happened with Reed and stuff like that, but our club's got this belief that they won't pay over to players, what they declare over to players. Now, as I've always said, a player is only worth as much as he can get, okay? So if he can't get it, he's worth nothing. Like, you know, exactly, I'm extra example, we got him cheaper because no one wanted to pay him the money he's not St. George. But other players, if they come off good years, they're as much as other teams are going to offer him. Now, you've got David Fifita floating around. Penrith have offered him about $850,000 a season. The Roosters, we know, have got a lot of money. Actually, legally this time as well, they've got a lot of money with what they've lost. And they're going to be looking to come in. Now, why is it our club never seems to put in for these players? Now, let's go through it. We should have some cap space, you would think, what we've lost over the last couple of years without really signing anyone big. You know, you're talking about your Reed, Murata, Papali'i. You know, we didn't really replace those players as well when you look at it that way. And if we did replace them, we replaced them with cheaper, poorer options. And, you know, when these players come on the market, we never seem to put in for them. I just don't get why it is, and it's frustrating. Like, you can look at Staggs, Herbie Farmworth. I know Manu, we've said he wanted to go overseas, but we never seem to get a look into it. And it's frustrating because we're never going to have that spark player and be able to build because there's clearly an issue with bringing our players to as well. So I'll go to you first, Hayden. I want to get your thoughts on just around the recruitment. And do you find it frustrating as a Parra fan that we can never pull off these, I'll say, marquee signings in a way?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the marquee signings hasn't been there for a while now. I think the big thing, like the positive thing to say about Brad is that he can turn players like, you know, Isaiah Papali'i, who just wasn't that great at the Warriors, into a powerhouse. In regards to your comment in replacing that player, though, I think Parramatta have, you know, scouted out players that they thought potentially under Brad could become that great back rower, you know, your Kelma Taulagi. I can't really think who else is there at the moment, but I think the club considered that and thought, you know, let's not pay overs for someone when we've seen what we were able to do to ice on those low contracts. But yeah, in the last couple of years, I mean, we've got that marquee signing of Lomax wrapped up, which is great to see. But over the years, there hasn't really been a forward or something where it's been, you know, a locked up deal, probably since Junior Paulo, to be honest.
Yeah, and that's when we got back. And just quickly to this Micah Martin bloke in the comments.
Who is
if
that?
If you come in more than 2 seconds ago, you would say Lomax is obviously a great signing, but we benefited of signing Lomax by negotiating with him, starting negotiations, showing interest before he hit the form he's obviously in. He's obviously had two very poor years, obviously in great form at the moment. I still declare it a risk. Although he's playing great football, it's still a massive risk. He hasn't consistently played strong football any time in his career. Although, obviously, based off current form, it's huge. But, yeah, I'll go to you, Joel, next. Can you think of the most recent big signing Parramatta had? Another club?
Kieran Foran, that went well.
Yep, add Chris Dando to
marquee.
The list.
Anthony Waltmeyer, that was marquee. Both of them went really well. We've got a good history with that. And to probably talking about that straight away, like that probably goes to the point of maybe that scared the board off a little bit with those signings going so horribly wrong. But in saying that, like the fact that we seem so far away from a lot of these quality players is actually ridiculous. Like we have Fifita that went down to Sydney yesterday and had to literally probably drive past Parramatta to go from Penrith to Sydney. And you're telling us we're not even interested to go and at least talk to him. Like we've got players like Sean Lane who, from what I know, is on quite a big deal, who does literally nothing for our team. And we've got someone who is a clear game breaker. I've seen a few comments in there. I think they're a bit hurt by Fifita, but he's literally a game changer. Like you've seen how much he's improved the Titans the last few weeks while he's been there. He's simply that good. And you'd be crazy to not think we should have at least been having some chats to him and just made some way to make something like that work. Like we'll talk about Wayne Bennett later, but this club is just so behind the times in terms of being on the front foot with things and thinking about how they're going to win a competition, not thinking, oh, hopefully this competition comes to us. No, go out and grab it. go out and have a plan in place that says, you know what, 2025 is the year. We're going to actually win the competition. So let's just go all out for it. If we don't get it, but I'm sure the fans will see what we're doing. And you know what, if they don't get it and they go hard out for it, the next year they start blooding the juniors and things like that, I reckon as fans would actually start to cop it, because you go, you know what, you actually were on the front foot for something for once this board, and you actually went hard for it. We may have failed, which more than likely we would if it was Brad Arthur as coach still, but at least we went for it. We've got to start, like Herbie Fineworth's another one. He was available for someone to sign and we didn't get him. Another one, like, I'm glad we didn't sign him because I think he's a bit of a overrated player, but like Tony Staggs or someone like that, he was available and we just basically Connor Tracy was basically signed, sealed, delivered. He's not a marquee, but he would have been very, very handy for our current climate. So
some of the comments that are coming in, just FYI, like is a point of things like Moses. Like, I get Moses big, but he was also a junior that we let go. I'm talking a big X factor player that can come in and complement what we have. Now, by that, what I mean is we've got a good halfback. We've got the New South, would have been the New South Wales 5'8 if it wasn't the injury. We've got, it was New South Wales halfback. We've got we've got Dylan Brown there, who's obviously the Kiwi 5'8. You add someone like Fifita, who I know can be hit and miss, but you add him into that, you know, on the edge with one of those players, and all of a sudden you've got an absolute weapon on your hands. Troy, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, I think you guys have probably summed it up pretty well. Hayden, you got it right there. I think Fifita, if he came to Parramatta, I think, well, from what we've seen over the years, our current coach, even though we don't agree on the current coach at the moment, but he can turn some of those players around from regular first graders into good first graders. We know David Fifita, he's a representative player. So we obviously haven't seen the best out of him at the Titans. So a change of club will be good for him. In regards to the biggest signing, that Lomax, yes, probably Kieran Foran is probably the biggest signing that we've had. Look, this has been going on a long time before Mark O'Neill was in charge.
It's just the fact that they've publicly come out and stated that they won't pay overs for players.
Yeah.
And as a fan, I'll cop that if we're bringing through players. If we're bringing through our junior players and we're constantly producing top-tier first graders, which we haven't, like, look what we've brought through. Dylan Brown, or I guess Will Penasini as well, are probably the last top-tier first graders that are going to probably play. When I say top-tier, I mean they're going to represent and they're going to play over a certain amount of games. Not just someone that would come in and play 30 games and be shipped off, or play, you know, 100 games and never achieve any higher than playing NRL level. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So, as you said at the top of the show, or top of this segment anyway, I bumped into Taruva the other day near work and had a conversation with him, and talking about his new signing at the Tigers. And I asked, he found out that I was a Parramatta fan. I said, oh, you didn't want to come to Parramatta? And he said that they just didn't get in contact with him at all. So Parramatta was definitely, or wasn't an option to go there. So I don't know what it is with these big players coming to the club. Yeah, so it's been happening a long time since before Mark O'Neill, but you'd think that possibly they should learn from that and do something about it to get some of these big signings to the club and, you know, challenge for a premiership.
Yeah, and it's been nailed in the comments by Scott. Happy not to sign marquee players if we're developing. That's the thing, we're losing our developed players.
Well, you look at Canberra, Ricky Stewart's happy to lose games, but play his young players because they're going to get experience and exposure to NRL. And he said that in a press conference. So if we did the same thing, yeah, sure, we might be critical because we're losing, but at least they're getting exposure and experience in first grade and their juniors.
Yeah, that's a nice little segue into this one. Look, we'll go through the team later. Obviously, we're going to talk about Blaze quickly. The news came out today, and I'm not that worried about it, that he's not activating the next year of his contract. That's smart management. Obviously, when that contract was signed, he hadn't played first grade. He's now signed 5 games. Look, there could be some truth to the fact that he's over being fucked around. The coach doesn't have a long-term plan for him where he's going to play. But it's probably just smart management, knowing that he's going to be worth more money. Now, he hasn't come out and said he's leaving Parramatta. He said he doesn't want to activate the contract offer he has. So he wants more money, essentially, which I think is genius. Joel, you've obviously got your opinion on there. Free yourself, Blaze. Do you think he should be leaving the club, or there's no real plan there for him? Or I guess it kind of ties into the Gutho thing last week and what we read into that as well. But your thoughts on that Blaze situation first of all?
Unfortunately, I think he should. If I was his manager, I'd be getting him out of the joint ASAP. The thing is, I feel for the kid. Like he just looks to me like a player that's shot for confidence, and I actually am extremely worried for him on the weekend playing fullback, because I keep going back to the point where like a month or so ago he played four positions or something in 3 weeks, or vice versa, three positions in 4 weeks. And those sorts of young players, we talk about developing players and letting them come in like the Raiders have done this year with their players. Brad Arthur should have stayed with Blaze as soon as he picked him. He should just be a mainstay in this team until he does, until he has two or three extremely horrible games where he's clearly not improving and he needs to go back, which he wasn't doing. He should have just stayed at centre, got to learn the game better at centre, and then once we sign Lomax, talk to him and say, look, obviously Lomax is coming in. We've got Lomax and we've got Will Pennicini as our main centres. We're going to start to train you up and become a winger. And there's still a wing spot there at the moment. Get rid of Sivo, put him on the wing and say, we want to build with you moving forward. And then with Gutho, whatever happens there down the future, you obviously know within the next probably 12 to 18 months, I'd say you're going to be the fullback. And whenever he is out, whether it's for rep footy or if it's injuries, you are our fullback. And that's the sort of plans in place that should be for this kid. And unfortunately, because of Brad Arthur, we're going to probably lose a kid that I reckon as soon as people got the news today about this, I reckon he would have had pretty much every club contact him and say, let's talk. That is just the quality of this kid. And that is, once again, just someone that we're going to risk letting go because of poor coaching. And it's the go-to now. Like, it's becoming a broken record, and it's actually at the point of exhausting to talk about the same shit. And the upsetting thing is you listen to a lot of these podcasts. I listen to the Daily Telegraph ones and the Sydney Morning Herald ones and stuff, and they always talk about our board at the moment being so slow. They're so, so slow with everything that they do. And if that doesn't speak volumes to everyone that's listened to this, I know there's more and more people starting to go on and say Sack O'Neill, but it's not just Sack O'Neill. It's literally let's clean the whole place out because it's so stale at the moment. We need to clean the whole place out and get new, fresh blood in there on the front foot that want to see the club genuinely improve. You keep hearing about all that we've got at the moment is bankers. Let's fix it. Let's start to seriously fix this place. Like the members and fans, we're the most important people at the moment that clearly care about the club no matter what. We've got to start doing stuff.
Yeah, I agree. Look, it's obviously happening on the social media. It's getting louder and louder. As fans, I guess besides signs at games and stuff, I don't know what else can really happen in that regard. But we're getting a bit sidetracked. We'll get to that later anyway. Just on that Blaze one, anyone else have an opinion, Hayden?
Yeah, I think I'm on the same page as Joel. You know, I hate to say it, but it's probably the right decision for him, especially what we've seen, the treatment of, what's his name, Saunders, whatever it is. I know you're going to get it.
Saunders,
Colonel.
So,
nickname
Colonel Sanders. Well, the situation with Ethan there, obviously stuck behind Moses, stuck behind Brown, now gets his shot. He's still not a halfback, as you'll see later in the team list this week, according to Brad. So, you know, we spoke about that conversation with Gutho and his future last week, but I think the club's probably got something long-term to say, you know, Gutho is our fullback at least for this year, next year. And for that reason, you know, Blaze, you're still stuck behind him. And then picking players like Sivo, you know, he's not going to get a spot on the wing, so where's he going to play? So as much as I hate to say it, and I think going forward he should have been our next kind of developing option. As you said, Adam, he hasn't left the club yet, but, man, some clubs are going to be contacting him in the coming days for sure.
Look, I think this is a bit of manager talk, to be honest, because obviously he's free to talk to other clubs. But when I don't know, when you think about it, which club would he go to? I mean, he's obviously not going to go to Brisbane.
Roosters.
I reckon Newcastle. Shane Gagai will leave, go to Roosters. He'll go to Newcastle.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to play centre, but.
Well, he'll play where he can get regular first grade.
Well, at the moment, yeah, he'll have to do that. But he'll be stuck behind Kalen Ponga at Newcastle for fullback.
He'll go to the Roosters. The Roosters will be chasing for sure. And the Roosters also, let's not forget Tedesco's not that far away from retirement as well. Like, when you look at it, his HIAs are regularly picking up, concussions are regularly picking up. He hasn't got that much left in him.
The thing is, from what I've been told as well, I don't think it is manager talk. I actually do think there is a lot to the fact that he's fed up at the moment with how he's being treated, because from what I've been told by a couple of people that know him personally, he literally has loved Parramatta from who knows when, and that's literally who he wanted to play for. So to get to this point, and I don't think he would have wanted this to be public if he wasn't meaning it, I think there is stuff behind it. And I think we are at serious risk of losing this kid.
And let's not forget, too, the kid's gone from winning a jersey flag comp to first grade in the space. If you look at it in regards to how many rounds it's been about 14, 13 rounds of football. You can't take the years or whatever, but 13 rounds of football, that's how long it's taken him to work his way up. So that's massive. It means he's gone jersey flag, New South Wales Cup into first grade in 13 games of football. That's incredible. So obviously clubs are going to be interested. Look, we can obviously talk about that one all night, but as one of those watch those space
it'd
ones,
be,
I think
it'll be interesting next year when and see what happens when Miller Stevens and Richard Pennacini comes back from injury as well. So what happens with them?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, they'll both be another year away. So,
well, if you look at what Hayes has gone through, yes. If you look at previous injuries with young players like ACLs, like Jacob Loco, they never come back the same. So hopefully they do. And even Gutho to an extent. Like Gutho, obviously he's been great, but he's never had the speed and stuff that he had before he did that ACL. Like he used to be one of the quickest players at Manly. And then he did his ACL obviously very early on. So, but anyway, like I said, we can talk about that all off season, wait and see what happens. But look, let's go through the team list first of all for the weekend. Obviously Blaze is at fullback. Got Bailey on one wing with Steve-O on the other wing. We'll get to that, Joel. Pennacini and Russell in the centres. Sanders and Brown in the halves. Brown still keeps that 7 jersey. Hopgood at lock. Madison and Lane in the second row. Paulo and Campbell Gillard in the front row. Lusick at hooker. A bench of Cartwright, Makatawa, Offengawi, Talongi. The 18th man is Luca Moretti. See, I actually had the 18th man for once. I remember that one. Extended bench of Harper, RC, Greg Hands. Now, I'm just going to get into it straight away because this has fucking really pissed me off all day and I've had a long, rough day and this is just an absolute joke. Now, all this off-season shit, all this off-season talk about being held accountable for our actions and coming together as a team, and we look back at last year and all the suspensions that cost us games, it's all a lot of fucking shit, Brad, because you've just gone out, you've picked a bloke that's cost you the game. As simple as that. Mike Acevo cost Parramatta the game against Manly. He should have been suspended. The fact he wasn't suspended has given him a free pass. He's, like, if he gets suspended and someone comes in and takes his chance, he probably goes back to New South Wales Cup and has to earn it again. Instead, he's let straight back into the team. So everything you say, your team is not going to listen to whatsoever now, okay? Now, look at the other one. Sean Russell dropped to reserve grade, right? Dropped to reserve grade to work on his game. He was struggling on the wing. He goes to reserve grade and comes back into a centre spot where he struggled last year. Once again, that is stupid. I don't think Harper did anything wrong. I know Harper's not the answer. He's not the Lord and Saviour. As someone likes to call him Jesus, because some believe in him, some don't. That was someone's comment last year. That was last week. That was incredible. But the fact that he's been dropped for someone like Russell, who really hasn't, like, one game doesn't obviously prove you're going to be a centre in the NRL. I'm sorry. Moving on. Still won't swallow his pride. Still has to name Brown at 7, even though Sanders has obviously proved the other day he was more controlling the team and Brown was just running it. Lane, poo. Everyone knows he was poo once again and earns his spot. And Lusick. Now, not only has Lusick been struggling, right? Lusick has been struggling that much to play 80 minutes. What's Brad do? Goes back to your original comment of, I only want one hooker, and drops Brandon Hands off the fucking bench to bring in... He's got no idea, honestly. He has no idea what he's done. Some of the changes he's made, he's once again making examples of the wrong people. He's making example. I'm not saying that Russell doesn't deserve to be in the team based off form. I'm saying Harper didn't deserve to be made an example of, because I actually thought once again he was one of our better ones against Manly. He makes examples of blokes that are easy to make examples of and doesn't hold the ones that are his boys as accountable. I think I've said it all. Troy, anything?
No, I agree about Sivo. He should have been playing New South Wales Cup. I'm very disappointed that he's back. Both he and Gutho said in the press conference it was a stupid act. And yeah, you're right. He's come back. Dumb. Yeah, definitely switch around Brown and Sanders, the Colonel, and probably I would have kept Harper in the centres. As you said, he's not our he's not a superstar player, but he can miss a few tackles, but he can make some as well. He can score a couple of tries as well. But I think probably Russell's in there. He'll probably be the goal kicker on Friday night. But why not give that responsibility to Sanders on Friday night? He's a goal kicker. He's a halfback. So why not give that responsibility to him anyway? So, and I thought probably Luca Moretti should have been on the bench at least as well. Sure, he does have a couple of mistakes in his game, but at the moment, which player doesn't in this team?
Yeah. Joel, thoughts?
I don't know what else to say that I haven't said before. The CVA thing has just become an absolute sick joke. Brad Arthur has lost his mind. It's actually official. I don't know if there's anyone out there. Please comment if you do, if you actually genuinely support the guy still, because he has absolutely lost the plot. He has gone so far back on the stuff that he tries to sell to us fans. It's not funny. And the thing is, everyone is now starting to see it. And I'm glad finally people are actually tuning in, listening, and seeing it with their own eyes, making up their own decisions, just how far behind this guy is. And the fact that our board isn't proactive in getting Wayne Bennett to the club. The thing is, Wayne Bennett doesn't need us. We need Wayne Bennett. That's the thing. And the fact that the club can't see it still and living in denial about it makes me genuinely sick. Like, I was looking forward to having the bye this weekend, spending some time with the family and stuff. Dad was up. And then when that news came out, it made me sick. But it just goes back to this, like, the lineup. BA clearly has his mates and picks him no matter. Look what Wayne Bennett was doing with the Dolphins early this year. You had some of those senior forwards who weren't making the run-on team and making the bench because they weren't clearly ready to go. And he just said to them simply, "You're not in my team. Go and work on your team, yourselves and come back." It's simply just not good enough anymore. I guarantee you certain players know for a fact they get to play in this team each and every week. And they don't give a shit. They generally don't give a shit. And it pisses me off.
Yeah, for sure. You got sidetracked again. We were going to get to the Wayne Bennett thing, but
I just can't believe that Sivo is there. I've just had
a message through from one of our sponsors, and he said it's Braden from BMA Trucking, and he said he can't wait to have a beer with you at the box. He's going to buy himself a ticket. He wants to have a beer with you and give you a hug as well. All right. So
I didn't think Joel was going to go to another game when Sivo was named. Isn't that what he said a few weeks ago?
Well. It's free beer, so he'll need it, that's for sure. No,
but the thing is, I say that because I think everyone should have the same thought process. Like, he's not doing the jersey, he's not making me feel proud of seeing him in the jersey. Like, players should generally make you, when you see him run out, you should be backing him no matter what. Steve-O, No, I want him literally that far away from this club. It's not funny.
I'll say this much, I'm very unmotivated to go this weekend, but. As stated, when the young fella wants to go, I'll be going. So, Troy, your thoughts on, obviously, that team. Do I go to you? Have we been to you? Sorry, Joel's been talking.
It's Hayden's turn.
It's Hayden's turn. Hayden, thoughts?
Yeah, not a fan of the team. I think, you know, you could sit here and say, let's make six changes. Obviously, we want players to be held accountable. But for me, there's only a couple changes that kind of need to be made, in my opinion. I think the bench is the big one for me. It's great to see Bryce Cartwright back in the side. Kind of strange to see him return via the bench, obviously coming back from that rib injury. But having both him and Kelma Talangi on the bench in place of Brandon Hands is so stupid. You know, we've seen Lussick really struggle in defence in key moments of the match. And, you know, Hands comes on, sparks the attack just that little bit towards late game. So Hands dropping out is just ridiculous for me. And the fact that you've got two back rowers on the bench, do like Makatoa and Offengawi there. And then the other changes I'd make to the side, obviously, Sivo, we've all just said, doesn't deserve to be there, especially, you know, he's not going to learn anything. He's had his suspension. He's been, you know, talked in the media, but it's going to be like, oh, cool, I did that. Let me respond from that. And, you know, he might come up with a silly play this week. He might score two tries, let to him, but it doesn't matter. He should be on the sidelines, especially with this head contact, the game talk. So, yeah, I'd move Russell to the wing. And then I know you boys probably disagree, but Morgan Harper shouldn't have been dropped. Absolutely shouldn't have been dropped. There's no valid reason for it. And, you know, just because Sebo's within that... Just because Sebo is within that fucking inner circle bullshit business that the club wants to pull, which we're starting to see how real it is, and it's pissing me off because we're starting to see it, and we're not going to name why, but we know a lot of players' reasons for being there, and players like Morgan Harper, who the club's bought to cover positions, like, he's done nothing wrong. It fucking pisses me off. I'm getting angrier each week, and, you know, we're going back at home. We're sitting in 12th. This time last year, panic button. We should have been hitting panic button probably 2 weeks ago, but this is an awful team list, and this tells me the coach has lost the dressing room.
Can someone please play I'll Make a Man Out of You from the hit Disney movie Mulan? Because Hayden just went bang. Look at it. Wow. Whew. Show us your chest, Hayden. Show us your chest.
I just, right. like we've all been saying the same thing for weeks, and Joel, a lot of the things Joel was saying 6 weeks ago, we're starting to agree on. We tried to deny it. We tried to sit here and go, no, that's not going to happen. No, they're not going this way. But we've heard club statements from the CEO. We've heard players come out and speak about, you know, the inner circle. Tim Manor, a former Eel. Like, so many things during the week before the bye and the bye that have come out, and the fact that no accountability's been done. Look, I'm just going to quickly say, I know everyone wants Sean Lane out, players like that. I think it's pretty hard. We don't have that depth. Probably Bryce Cartwright, Lane to the bench. But I don't think coming into this, Bryce Cartwright coming
ready.
In. Right.
We've got Moretti.
I know we do, but I don't know if Moretti's ready for this, the back row there.
There's two players on the bench that should be in your spot.
I just don't think Kelmer. I understand players should be held accountable, but I don't think we can make four or five changes in 1 week. And that's why those changes I made, that's what I do to the side. But just dead set, like, it's a broken fucking record.
Can I just say something, Hayden? Hang on.
So everyone in the comments are seeing that Guma gets a run. I don't know how you say his name. It's not going to happen, guys. We're in a BA system, okay? He's not going to give another young player a go. He's already reached his limit of young players getting a go this year, and he was forced into all of them. All right, go, Troy.
Can I just say something, Hayden? Mate, You are talking pretty well tonight. You said at the start of the show you might not go all right tonight because of a sore tooth. I hope that tooth is pulling up okay after that. Hey?
I hope so too. We'll see what it is tomorrow morning.
just on what you are saying, though, Hayden, I'm the opposite. I think we can make the five changes. That's what we actually need to do. To literally shake the place up right now, we need to be making those five changes. I don't care if we roll out the most inexperienced lineup we've ever seen. It needs to happen to shake everyone up. I can't wait to see Lane get embarrassed by someone in New South Wales Cup and shown for the lazy piece of shit that he is, and for him to swallow his own pride and be there playing New South Wales Cup. Like, these are the things that has to happen to these players, him, Sevo. Like, I want them to be replaced by these youngsters who are chomping at the bit like Moretti. I don't care if he makes two or three mistakes in the game. I know for a fact he wants to genuinely be out there, and he actually loves to put the jersey on. Like, the fact that he continually gets picked in and out of this team is disgusting. He should be one of the first picked week in, week out, because he's one of those players that generally want to be there. I'm sick of seeing the same thing week in, week out of these players that don't deserve the jersey picked because if we don't have the backup for it. Well, that's the club's fault. I don't care. Go out there. I'll support the team getting beat by 60 if it means we're having a team out there that actually wants to be out there and they're getting the experience out of it. Like you mentioned what I said earlier. If I can see 6 to 12 months ago the fact that our backline stocks were horrible, and I said it so many times, why can't these people who are on salaries of 200K plus, et cetera, 500K plus, et cetera, see this? I am a nobody, and I can literally see the fact that our backline stocks have been horrible since we made the grand final. Even the grand final team, you go back and look at that backline, it was probably pretty rubbish, if we're being honest. We overachieved in getting to that grand final with that backline.
Can I just say on that as well, we've all spoken about, you know, our predictions on when the coach will go, the club will go a different way in coaching and things. But now we've seen it come out, obviously the Bennett deal rejected, things like that. This season feels like an absolute joke. last season felt like a joke, and that was based on performances. You know, we went on a good run there in the middle, looking for a top eight spot, dropped off. But now you've got people within the club just physically saying that you need to give Brad a chance, you need to come support Brad because we've got players injured. Yeah, you got Moses, yeah, you got Gutho, yeah, you got Cartwright. You can still field a team. You're not like the Rabbitohs grabbing players out of New South Wales Cup who have never been there before. The excuses from the club right now are absolutely rubbish. Like, we speak about players taking accountability, but no one physically from the club has actually said the harsh truth. Whether it be something online, maybe they've been cryptic about it. Maybe that Dylan Brown book was, you know, their way of sending that message. But seriously, no one is taking accountability for the direction and the ownership of why this season is going downhill. They're just making excuses each week.
I think it comes down to obviously the way the club's being run. Like, and the perfect example of that is the whole Wayne Bennett thing. We'll get to that now. The fact they didn't want Wayne Bennett shows that our club and the people running our club want to have someone that they can control, okay? Our next coach, if we get rid of Brad Arthur, that will be a rookie coach. They can continue to control. The only way that's going to change is if the CEO and the director or whatever he's called, what's his actual job title? I've forgotten his fucking job title. General manager, is that what he is? Mark O'Neill?
Garbo. Something. Garbo. Anchor.
But if he goes first, that's the only way that's going to change. Like, you know, prime examples that obviously are no one wants to talk up. The players, you can see, are frustrated. They don't want to talk up. And like I said, this Wayne Bennett thing, it's as simple as that. It's nothing's going to change till change starts at the top. And like I said, we're well on our way to going to where we were in 2012 and 13. It's as simple as that.
How much percent do you think Wayne Bennett will go to South Sydney?
Well, he's not going to come to us. We've ruled him out. He's got nowhere else to go. Like, the club said they're not interested in him. It's as simple as that. So South Sydney have offered him a three-year deal. So, you know, I think that's risky for his age. But I guess the thing is the club doesn't have any plans. They've got no future plans besides making money.
But the I know the fans
making money.
I know the fans and members, they want to hear that they are chasing Wayne Bennett as coach of the Parramatta Eels. But do they have to? Do they have to come out and say we are chasing him, or can they do it in the back rooms and keep it on the hush hush until it's absolutely signed, sealed, and delivered?
Wayne was chasing us. We shouldn't have had to be chasing us. He wanted to come to us. We should have been chasing him. Like, you know, he'd been to see us. He'd done that. sorry, Josh. That's absolutely brilliant. It's thrown me off big time, but it's absolutely brilliant. But I guess you want to understand, like, and obviously for those who aren't familiar with it, two of the directors of the club actually left the board in the last couple of weeks, and it was kept very hush hush. But then all of a sudden, two new people were appointed. Someone put it in the comments earlier that these two new people appointed have nothing to do with the football side of things. The two people that left the board were the ones that went down to training and cared about the team. So we're going in another deep hole there. I'd love to know how someone can run for the board. I'd love to know how the right people can get on the board that actually
care. You've got to be a member of the lease club, I think, for 3 years and attend the meetings and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, there you go. So it seems like they've got who they want in there and they're voting in who they want there. Because all of a sudden, as soon as these people that obviously cared about the club have quit for a certain reason, all of a sudden new people in that don't seem to care that they wanted in there. So anyway,
the thing is that the Wayne Bennett appointment would actually be the easiest sell possible. I think a lot of people are forgetting how easy it would be to get Wayne Bennett to the club. He is sitting back. He wants to be known as being better than Jack Gibson. Obviously, Jack Gibson did it for us. And for him, I reckon, I have no doubt about it, that he sits back and goes, if I can get this club back to that premiership that everyone is waiting for, I will go down as the greatest coach of all time. And I would put him up there if he was able to do that with us. And Wayne Bennett sold it to himself. He hasn't signed the deal yet with South Sydney. He'll do it at Magic Round, as we've all heard by now. There's still time to get him, but I don't think the club has any, well, they don't have any clue how to go about it. And they actually don't care. They'll wait till BA can't make the eight anymore, which will be mathematically probably by around 20 or something. and he'll already be gone and done.
Well, that's going to bring us to our next question. We're playing a very understrength Brisbane team this week. We'll get to our predictions soon. What happens if we get trounced by this Brisbane team? Is there a chance that BA is gone? Now, before we get to that, I'm going to let you think about it. Guys, keep continuing to share. We've got to put someone in, obviously, the draw for that box, the one person. Share it away. Best comment will go in to that draw. So, Corey, you've had some absolute clangers, but you're already in there, so you can't do it. And we're also, you've got to share it. So comment that you've shared the podcast, once again, because we haven't started them and we've lost them. So I don't even know how to do that. So comment you've shared the podcast, you've shared it. We'll pick one ears. Best comment to win that, Bunnings the Archer. All right, so keep the clangers coming. So, yes, back to what I was originally saying. Hayden, is there any chance? And before, we're going to make this a two-part question. What's the crowd's reaction going to be to BA on the weekend, on Friday night? All right, go.
No, there's no chance of him being sacked after a 40-point loss this week if it happens, 40, 50, let's say 20, 26 plus, something like that. But you could probably see some of the crowd booing. I don't support booing when a team's losing, but I think the frustration will start to brew. If not that game, maybe the game against the Sharks in a couple of weeks, everyone will kind of let this game slide, enjoy a bit of magic around. If we lose both those games, then we'll see, you know, decisions, discussions, things like that from people within the club. But obviously everyone's coming out to protect him after a loss. And as I said, they're playing the point the finger game going, Moses is injured, Bryce Cartwright's injured, Sebo's, like, you know, just different excuses each week. So no, I used to say, yeah, I think it'll come by around, you know, 12 or something. I don't think it's coming for a while. I think it's late in the season, like Joel said, when Little's too late.
Sorry.
I don't think he'll get sacked straight away. I think it'll be depending on the result of this year. So if it's going to happen, it'll be at the end of the year. I don't think it'll be mid-season. That's just the way that it goes, I think, at this club. So, I don't think he'll get sacked mid-season.
You think he'll get booed on Friday night? You think
look, there's a pretty good chance that he will. I probably don't agree with it, but look, everyone's entitled to their opinion, aren't they? They pay their money and they pay their memberships and whatever, so they're entitled to do that. I don't agree with it. We saw what happened with Jake Arthur, but I don't agree with it. Difference. But I think I know there's a difference, but I think there possibly will be a little bit of a sound going around the ground when the team list gets read out.
Just to highlight, I'm not a big fan of booing players, especially players that haven't done anything wrong. Booing players that have left, e.g. Reid, had a great time. It was fantastic. But I don't agree with that. But booing a coach who's given a reason, and a massive reason, with these odd choices to continue. Now, look, we can say it's obviously O'Neill, the pressure coming through. O'Neill's not going to get shown on screen. If he does, he'll probably have his Tigers jersey on anyway, so probably people probably won't recognise him. But if he does, oh, fuck, it'll be the biggest boo I've ever given in my life. But Joel, thoughts on that one?
The thing is with booing, I know there's this big, deep thing about it and people look so far into it, it's so disrespectful and stuff, but the way I look at it at the moment is the sort of situation we find ourselves in as a club and as fans and as members, we literally at the moment feel like we are not heard no matter what. Constantly comments are deleted. We try to contact the club and things like that. No one gets back to you, or it's just a AI bloody automated response back. I support it. If his face is shown and that's the way to get people's message across on Friday night, 100%. Boo as loud as you can. Make it the loudest noise of the night so that the club knows it, because I've got no doubt all the power brokers will be there hiding in their VIP chairman's lounge, and make it echo. Make it vibrate. Make it known. And even if we are to pull out the win on the weekend somehow, don't stop with your voice, guys. Like, that's one thing I will say now. Don't stop speaking about things, because there's clearly issues at the club, and all the win will do at the moment, as much as it'll be good to get the 2 points, it'll just keep forlonging the what's going to happen. And the club is clearly not in a good way. It hasn't been for a long time, and nothing's going to change if we fluke one win. So keep your voices loud, keep it heard, and just keep it going. The club can't continue to ignore us.
Yeah, for sure. I was going about bowl predictions. actually, before we get our bowl predictions, let's announce who's going in the draw. We haven't really been paying. Has anyone been paying attention this year?
You have a think about that, but there's also the other sponsor news as well. The new sponsor that's coming on board as well. So, for all your Eels merchandise, and I know Joel's a big fan of the Eels merchandise this season, 10% discount at What's Your Team. So use the code in checkout, Eels Army, and you'll get 10% off your purchases. So thank you, What's Your Team, for coming on board with the Talking Para podcast.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I haven't been paying a lot of attention. The comments have been going off. Once again, we've had 564 comments. 20 people have shared it. But I'm going to give it to a regular because he's here every week sharing it and he continues to comment, continues to have a good impact. I don't know if I can get in the beers with this guy because I'll probably end up flogging him. But Andrew, Backyash, you're in the draw, obviously, for that one, that one ticket. So you got one in nine chance. That puts three people in there.
Adam, if he does win the ticket, will we see him run at you at that game somewhere in the Legends Lounge? Or
that would be unfair because I'll be on crutches. So,
well, unfair to who?
Yeah, probably him. I'll probably still drop him. I only need one good shoulder, but he's in that draw, so that's 3 out of 9. Now
Charlie's a big fan by the looks of it.
We've got the Bunnings voucher as well to hand out. Is there any comments that have taken your attention? There's been some good content tonight, guys. But unfortunately, Matt hasn't been here to star him, and I don't know how to.
Let's go. Let's have a look through, hey?
Yeah, you can't get
Brandon,
through. So.
While they're looking at that, make sure you get your questions in, guys. We'll do a quick summary. I know there's been a lot of questions, but there's been so many comments. Just refresh and put your comments down the bottom to make it easier for us, and we'll quickly get to them.
Yeah, that's a fair shout, Charlie. Charlie's a sponsor, and he's obviously contributes a lot every week as well, and he's come up with some good content. So, G-Man, if you want to message us, you can have the Bunnings voucher this week, all right? So $100 Bunnings voucher. I don't know how handy you are, but we'll see what you can do. And he might be able to get $100 worth of Bunnings snacks somehow. I know he likes to eat, so they don't sell alcohol there, so he'll be fine. Let's do our bowl predictions. As Joel said, keep your questions coming in. Final shout out, obviously, if you want a chance to win those two tickets, get online to the Facebook there. You got to like, share, comment who you'll bring, and make sure you've liked all the pages, and you got a chance to win two tickets to join us at that game on the 31st of August. Bowl predictions, eh? Look, who wants to go first? I'm going to let Troy go first because he's pretty much always consistent at picking shit. So what do you want, Troy?
Look, you guys will probably call me crazy, but I think we can win this game. It'll be something like
crazy.
Yeah, I knew you'd say that. And probably the comments will come through now too. But
they
look,
say you're crazy.
Okay. there's another song we're going to have to think of off air as well, what the song is. But
they think you're crazy.
Oh, yeah. No, okay, there we go. Anyway,
it's just that kind of night. It's
yeah,
that kind of night.
It's crazy. Yeah, we need Matt here to sort us all out. But anyway, 18-14. Blaze to score two tries and the first one.
Blaze double, Blaze first try scorer.
Yeah. Kept it simple.
Has anyone got a pen and paper handy? Matt, are you watching? Matt, write these down.
I think he was Hayden, because he did put in a few comments, so he might be.
It's at the end. He'll work it out. It's not our issue. No, you're next, Hayden. You don't get to make that call. Go.
Well, I'm going to take 5 minutes on this because it's my my little special moment for the week.
Oh, as you okay. Can see, everyone sit back, relax, enjoy it, it's five minutes here. He's got the floor.
No, guys.
I thought you already had your special moment when you were chowing on those nuggets with Reese at the Matty John show.
No, that was a good moment too. No, yes. After 6 years of doing NRL vlogs, I bring up a milestone. You know, players bring up milestones all the time. You know, they win some, they lose some. I've been on a great record with milestones. 150th was the Eels versus Storm game in the rain. Sivo scored the match winner there after Ollam scored a late try to almost hand us a loss. And the 150th, Mighty Maroons got the game 3 win in 2022. So as you've seen over the last couple of weeks, and Troy mentioned earlier,
yes,
I do have the Journey to Vlog 200 shirts available. You can change the colour of the shirt. A few people ordered maroon, a few people have ordered black. I don't know how the black will look, but yeah, I'll try and include a link again over on the page. But massive night. I'm really hoping the rain stays away. It's obviously forecast to rain, which would be disappointing. And then we'll celebrate Vlog 200 together with a few beers there at Magic Round next Sunday.
Well, congratulations, Hayden, on 200 vlogs. And as you said, milestones are a big occasion. So hopefully the lads can step it up. Munster got a win in his 200th, so...
Yeah, he sure did. Looking forward to it. Got good seats too for this one.
Oh, really? Look, front row?
Yeah. Four rows back behind the goals on the opposition.
For fuck's sake, Troy, you can interview him on your own podcast next week. Hurry up, Hayden. Give us your prediction.
Come on, mate. It's not everything.
We've already missed all the questions. We've got to, guys, resend your questions again, please.
All right. I think this is a game we can win, and I think being my milestone, you know, let's get up for it. But
I reckon that should be Brad's speech before the game.
But I'm going to...
There's a little boy out there, and he's been struggling because I heard him myself. I heard him with the way we've been playing. But it's his 200th vlog tonight. Can you please get up and win for him? That'll be inspirational.
He's been struggling at trading this week with a sore tooth. And
You know me, but I am I'm a smart man. So I'm going to tip the Broncos to you guys. I'm going to tip the Broncos. I do apologise. I think this is a game we're capable of winning, but I think it's one that we let slip away at the end. We haven't played second halves. I think we can be in it the second half, but they have too much quality within them, and I think they can run over the top of a forward pack who haven't run for 100 metres in 3 weeks. It's absolutely embarrassing. Very close to your score, Troy. I'm going 20 points to 14, so the Broncos to win by 6. Low-scoring one. I don't know where points are coming from. First try scorer, I'm going to go Dylan Brown. He's going to run. He should run for 400 metres, honestly, the way that he's going to have to
play
this game.
That's a bold prediction as well.
Without Gutho and Moses. I actually don't know my bold prediction.
You just said a bold prediction there, 400 metres.
Well, that's I'm taking the piss there. But, yeah, Broncos to win. Dylan Brown to Jermaine Hopgood to run for more than 150 metres. I don't know why, but let's go that.
All right, Joel, what do you got?
For giving each other plugs, just quickly, guys, jump on League of Inches, hit follow, become a subby, $2.99 a month, very cheap, less than a coffee a month. Just give us some support financially. Really appreciate it. You get more and more rants that you all love. What are we up to? Oh, that's right, my bold prediction. I reckon first try scorer, I'm going to say no one. I don't think we'll score a try on Friday night. I don't know where our attack's coming from with no Moses and no Gutho. So that's my big one.
Okay, so who do you think the first try scorer of the game will be then?
Reece Walsh. He's going to have an absolute field day on us. People are saying they've got no Reynolds and stuff. You obviously haven't been watching how good Reece Walsh has been when Reynolds isn't there. He actually goes to another level. It's actually scary. So I'm very worried. I think Walsh will literally have a hand in everything. My bold prediction would be he'll get two try assists, and I think the scoreline will be 22-0. It's going to be a Walsh masterclass.
Someone just commented Walsh masterclass when he said that.
Yeah, that was actually, really weird.
That was eerie. Josh, are you in his room? Are you why he's next door?
Josh.
Anyway, look, I actually wasn't disappointed with the way he played against Manly. Like, I know they died off the end, but I said watching that game back, a lot didn't go our way. Once again, not only have the players come out and said, we're backing Brad, you know, we throw our support behind Brad. Now you've got blokes like Nathan Hindmarsh coming out and saying the same thing. So if the players really want to prove they want Brad out there, they need to turn around and perform for him. Yeah. Now, I think Madison, for example, he stood up against Manly. Now the other players, the Lanes, the Lussicks, the Sean Russells, the players that he keeps showing faith in for some strange reason, they really need to come out and perform for him on Friday night. I've lost track of what day it is. Friday night, they need to come out and perform for him, or it's season over. It's as simple as that, because they can't keep this talk up and not act it up. So I think we'll win. I think it's going to be a very scrappy game, because having Brisbane, having Reynolds out, which Adam did predict earlier on, is huge for them. Now, Jock Madden hasn't been named either, I believe. So that's their backup halfback gone. Yep. So they're onto their third choice halfback. Okay. Now, surely, well, fuck, we're onto our fourth choice if you want to look at it that way. We've finally got our first choice halfback in Sanders. And obviously Brown there as well. And I think having that game experience against Manly helped us. So I'm going Parramatta win 22-14. My bold prediction is Dylan. Did anyone say Dylan Brown first try scorer?
Dylan you Brown.
Did. Yeah, Hayden did.
All right. Well,
it's in the stars.
My first try scorer will be, Madison, based off the comments. My bold prediction is a little bit of a same game multi in a way. I've got Sanders 3 try assists in a Dylan Brown anytime. Into all Brisbane's points to be conceded down Mike Acevo's wing. All right, so there's my bold prediction. It's a three-tier bold prediction.
So,
what are you really gambling? You win some, you lose more.
Yes,
keep going, keep going.
Nah, I'm not doing the rest.
So, as Stephen McCabe just pointed out there, he plays. Josh Rogers plays for the Burley Bears, which is coached by Luke Burt as well. So,
we had one of them once. Remember him, Jamal Fogarty? He wasn't any good according to Brad Arthur.
Apparently, a big runner of the football. So, keep an eye out for him.
That's good. That means they've got two runners of football. They'll be like us when we had Blaze and Dylan there. Anyway. So if we can't win this game, we have severe fucking problems. Honestly, we should be putting this team away. We have two players out, one who's been struggling for weeks anyway. We have a so-called gun coming into the halves who's obviously signed a contract elsewhere but has great praise. We should be beating this team without their first choice halfback there and some other injuries they've got as well in their back line. So I'm sorry, but if we can't do that, if we go down by more than 13, it's a massive fucking fail and a missed opportunity. Because if we played them full strength the way we've been playing, it would have been 40 plus.
But I think you're both underestimating just how influential the two players we have out is. Gutho and Moses is literally our team. No one has shown anything this year. They've got players in their Broncos team who have actually been showing that they can play without Reynolds. Like, they've still got Carrigan, they've still got Haas, they've still got Walsh.
Man's been terrible. They've still got Stags.
Man has looked like Brown
without Moses, without Reynolds.
Their forward pack of Jensen and Haas, if fully fit, which I think they probably are fully fit, do you think that Campbell Gillard and Junior Paulo can stop them after the last couple performances they've had? Obviously, they've got the bye, so maybe that plays with the head, and maybe I'm thinking the wrong way, guys. I don't often tip against Parramatta, but the form that Jensen and Haas is in and the way our forward pack's playing, I think that's part of the reason we lose the game.
We seem to always get ourselves up when we play Haas. Besides that game last year, every other time we play him, our forwards seem to go to another level. Now, they've essentially had, if you want to look in regards to rounds again, our forwards have essentially had about 13 rounds and not playing their best football.
Thanks, Mika.
Okay? They haven't played their first football. That was half a game. He hasn't done it all the whole game. Shut up. Fuck off.
So, Joel, you probably wouldn't have seen this, but Sean Lane did media today on the Eels website. And
I got tagged in it.
Oh, did you? Yeah. So, did you watch it?
I didn't watch it.
All right.
No,
so
I'm not watching that shit.
I
only watch it when they put it on Lane stuff and they put it on YouTube.
He actually did say that you can put the red pen through us if you want to call our season at your peril. So, don't know what you're making of that.
Sean Lane, man, you've done nothing for 2 years. Shut the fuck up. Once again,
talk is cheap. Like, we've heard it all in the off-season. We've heard it every press conference. They come out and have this motivating press conference where they all said it. They haven't fucking proved anything.
Is he going to make another documentary about that? He's going to say, oh, there's people putting the red line through us. I'm going to make a doco about that.
He's making a
doco. He'll keep me in the team for another year.
League of Inches.
All right. We got any questions? Joe, you've been watching these questions. You asked the questions and you haven't been watching it.
the prediction one went for so long that when we asked for them, they're all now like 200 comments behind. So, guys, once again, please do your comments, please. Send them through right now. We're ready to go.
All right, while we do that, Hayden's going to sing us a song.
No, I'm not.
Actually, there was one to start us off. Hayden, someone wanted to know, did you ask Hindy anything while you're at Matty John's?
No, I didn't actually. I didn't get to speak to Hindy, unfortunately.
Corey said our thoughts about us going after the Storm fullback. I think that says who's replacing Pappenhausen.
Well, Joel's got an absolute hard on for this bloke, so you can answer that one.
Yeah, so I did want to mention that. Now, the thing is, there's a clause in his contract, apparently.
Hang on, sorry. What did you want to mention, him or the other thing that I mentioned?
I love this kid. He is honestly so good. I've watched that try he scored on the weekend that many times that, I don't know, I bet not so much because the missus is around. But anyway, love you, babe. So back to it. He has a clause in his contract that states if Pappenhausen re-signs with the Storm, which is word at the moment, they're in the middle of organising a deal for, I think he's off contract from next year, so after the next year, he actually becomes a free agent again. This is the stuff that I'm talking about with the club being on the front foot. If that's the case, as soon as that pen to paper is done, signed, sealed, delivered, go after this kid. He is that good. He is our future fullback. I'm sorry, but he's way better than Blaze. And, like, I love Blaze. I think Blaze is a great player. He has got nothing on Sua Fa'alongo. He is an out-and-out future star of this game. I heard some people saying, we talk about Reece Walsh and how good he is. Fa'alongo was doing things at Reece Walsh's age, the same age, what Walsh wasn't doing it yet. Like, he's so good. So, yeah, go after him.
Yeah, but once again, it's a marquee signing and our club doesn't even know how to approach marquee signings. We got any other good questions? Hayden, you want to talk about anything again?
No, but Braden did say about Hayden, if Hayden is a filthy Queenslander, he can't come to the Legends Lounge.
Well, Braden, you won't be there either, mate. I can control this and make sure you're not one of the 9 lucky.
He's our sponsor and he's bought his own ticket, so you can't.
Leith has said, with the competition as weak as it is, we can still make the 8. Do you think that's true or not?
False.
It's a tough one. I think we can. I don't think we will, personally. I've put behind us this season. But, yeah, the I think there's a massive gap between teams, which at the start of the year you thought it was an open competition. But I think it only really seems to be, you know, your Roosters, your Broncos, your Sharks, your Storm, your Panthers, and then there's a massive gap between
the Sharks. We can make the 8 because mathematically things have gone in our favour. If we, like I said, we scrape some of these games again before Moses gets back, we can. It's not panic stations yet, as we would say. Can we win the comp? No, only I reckon 3 teams can win the comp at the moment. That's Penrith, Melbourne, and the Roosters. Brisbane can't win the comp. Sorry, Cronulla can't win the comp. They've had the easiest draw once again. No one is near those 3 teams. So we are nowhere near. So if we make the finals, sadly this year we're making up numbers. I'd rather see us miss finals so we can start to get some change. But it's the only way it's going to happen.
You're writing off the Sharks?
Yeah, the Sharks are fucked. They're no chance.
I reckon they'll beat Melbourne this weekend. I really do. I know they've had a soft draw. I know you can make up all the excuses in the world, but you watch them be there in at least the top 6 at the end of the year. I'm on you with the Broncos.
Are we putting the first 2 drinks at Magic Round Sunday on that?
What? On the...
I'll take Melbourne, you take Cronulla.
I'll go 2 beers, deal.
Done.
Everyone okay, so you've got, this isn't
119 witnesses to that.
So anyway, enough of the tipping podcast. Who should be our next coach if we can't get Bennett from Craig Rex? Look, Michael Checker's thrown in his name at South Sydney. Former Wallabies coach, Argentinian coach of the Lebanese rugby league team. I've heard Adrian Lamb's name has been mentioned to come back from England. Jason Riles as well as a potential head coach. Who would
I'd
you
like
guys...
Josh Henne.
Yeah, his name has been mentioned.
The long-term plan, like we all know, I want Bellamy, but we need to think to the future. And if we get, let's say, we got a Bellamy, or we got somehow still got a Bennett, if that somehow happened, their assistant needs to be someone who's going to be our future coach, like Bennett's done at the Dolphins. There's a bloke floating around Brisbane. I don't know his name. Josh, you commented a couple of weeks ago if he's still with us, and they reckon he's the brains behind Brisbane. So if we got someone like him under someone like Bennett or Bellamy, then obviously he could potentially take over. Yep, John Morris, for example. Well, like I said, we're only going to get a rookie coach with the current board. So,
yeah. Where is John Morris now? Is he still with South?
I don't know.
No, he got sacked. He's with the Tigers, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah, well, let's do a swap. I nail for Morris. Done. Should...
All right, Joel. Anyone?
We need a senior figure. I don't know who it's going to be. I know the board has to then swallow their pride, but hopefully, with the noise that the fans and members make continually for the next few weeks, change starts to happen, and we can get that senior figure. I don't know who that senior figure is at this stage. Bellamy, not Bellamy, Bennett was the obvious one. If we can't get Bennett, try and somehow get Bellamy, but that's not going to happen. Maguire, I don't know. He can go in and just give the rev up to the players for a year and tell them how shit they are, make them all sulk so they get out, and then we can full on start again. So bring back Tale of Tiger Town. That was great. Yeah, honestly, that's the thing. That's why we need Bennett for a couple of years. He can bring in one of these, like a Henne or something, who works under him for 2 years, and then he's the next one in line. Like, that's the sort of plan we need to have in place here. And they've just completely – and they haven't just failed like the club. They've failed us as fans, because there's clearly no future-proofing this club at the moment, and that's the sad thing.
You're right. There's no future plans. It's about making as much money as the future. They don't care about anything else. But one more question. I'm going to throw it, because we haven't got any good questions in the comments, the fun ones that we usually get. Fans can answer this as well, and if there's any brilliant answers, I'll throw one more person in the draw for that 1 in 9 chance, or make it 1 in 10 chance for that, obviously, 1 ticket in the box. All right, now I'm going to ask you first, Troy, and I'll put you under the most pressure. Everyone else can have some time to think.
Thanks.
If you could have a song to sum up Parramatta's season so far, what would the song be?
Oh, this is very tough after like a ride on notice. I can't think of one off the top of my head. Give me some time, man.
Because I'm free falling.
Free falling.
I don't know. Give me some time as well. I wasn't expecting this.
No, exactly. This is out of the box. So, hang on. Let me think about it.
Wildest Dreams, Taylor Swift, because it's in our wildest dreams to ever play finals football again under BA.
I'm going this one really well, and it's been a song that's been in my head late for some reason, but Jealous by Labyrinth. Does everyone know that song?
No. Do they play that on Triple M? Song.
It's hard for me to say. I'm jealous of
you. Stop singing.
But, well, you had to hear it. The reason we're doing it is because I'm jealous of everything that Penrith are achieving next to us. All right. Yes. What's meant to be the small club is obviously showing us off.
Oh, no, one.
Go on. Use your words.
Wake me up when September ends.
Okay, yeah. So, look, it's obviously not glory days or the Holy Grail or Run to Paradise. Maybe could be.
Troy's going to his Saturday night after 12 KBs.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it could be the nips are getting bigger or, get on the beers. That song, I reckon.
All right.
Because there's been plenty of times you could get on the beers watching Parramatta this season, definitely.
I can't scroll up. How do I scroll up on this thing? Whoever it was who said, "Hello, darkness, sounds of silence. Hello, darkness, my old friend." Josh Gunner Gunton. You're in the draw. Message the page. You're in the draw. Someone add him to the list. All right, 1 in 10 chance, because that's brilliant. All right, that's all I've got time for. Obviously, good luck to those going on Friday night. Let's hope we can somehow come out of the win. Like I said, let your voice heard. However you want to have your voice heard, you do what you're going to do. And let's just fucking hope for the best. We'll see you Tuesday.
Go, Para.
You going to take us out, Troy?
Thank you very much for listening and listening to the podcast when it comes out on Apple and Spotify. Thank you very much for watching us on Facebook Live, sharing and commenting and asking questions. Really appreciate it. Congratulations once again, Hayden, on 200 vlogs. Can't wait to see that one. And we will see you next week, 8:15, Facebook Live.